You are listening to a Banzai Retro Club podcast. Language and topics may not always be appropriate for younger listeners. Press 1 for a groovy topic from the 1970s. Press 2 for an awesome topic from the 1980s. Or press 3 for a slamming topic from the 1990s. Please choose now. Too late. We have made your selection for you. Let's start the show.
So I'm going to be the first on the record to say I'm somebody that gets really behind the curve as far as knowing important stuff. And I've been doing, you know, retro podcasting since October 2014. And you figure I would have known this story from, you know, somewhere in all that time between 2014 and now 2019. But I'd never really heard the story of Dave Mustaine. And it took me listening to an audiobook called, what was the, who's the author's name? Let me look that up real quick. I had it right here. By Mark Manson, It's a Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck. So I was starting to listen to this audiobook because I was intrigued by, obviously, the title. And I was curious what kind of messaging this, you know, quote-unquote self-help book was going to help provide, you know, to the world at large. And I'd known that was a bestseller for a while. So I was like, you know, I really wanted to give it a listen and check it out and see what I can bring forth into my own life as, you know, little factoids, words of wisdom and whatnot. You know, more or less, the book hasn't drawn me in completely, but there's some stories that started to hook me. And one of the stories that was bringing up the message, which I'll get to in a second, was about Dave Mustaine. Now, I think a lot of you have heard of this guy. And I think, you know, you know, those that are really into 80s music know the story of him. You know of this guy. And I didn't, because I'm not into heavy thrash metal. So I guess it makes sense that I wasn't aware of him. But the part that intrigued me about his story, and first off, you know, I do hope for a speedy recovery for him, because I know he's battling throat cancer. So I'm hopeful that, you know, that's going to, you know, he's going to be able to beat that. Cancer is a complete bastard. I've had many family members that have passed away because of cancer. So anybody that has to deal with that treacherous disease, my hat's off to them. I want them to be able to stand up and beat that disease. It'd be a breath of fresh air if the whole world could just not have to deal with that disease. But that's another topic. Back to Dave Mustaine. What I had learned was he was the guy that had been fired from Metallica and consequently started the band Megadeth. And here's the part that I find interesting. According to Wikipedia, Megadeth has sold over 38 million records worldwide, earned platinum certification in the United States for 6 of its 15 studio albums, received 12 Grammy nominations. Megadeth won its first Grammy Award in 2017 for the song Dystopia in the Best Metal Performance category. So of all that success, 38 million records worldwide sold. Very successful band. Considered one of the big four for American thrash metal. Of all that success, in Dave Mustaine's mind, he is not a successful person. His barometer of success is to be better than Metallica. So of everything that's gone on in his life that's went great, he's still holding on to the anguish of what it was like to get fired from Megadeth, not Megadeth, but from Metallica, and, you know, put that as his barometer for success. So I was so intrigued by this story and so hooked by it. I haven't become kind of a Dave Mustaine junkie, but what I did was I actually printed his picture and put it up at my desk at work. And not to be, you know, like hard rocker, you know, dude, you know, to show off, you know, my, you know, retro cred to my fellow office workers. It's to remind me of that lesson of, you know, acknowledging that, you know, I could be successful and I've got to be measuring the right thing for success. And to measure your success based on being better than someone else isn't right. It's not fair. It's not a good barometer. So you've got to be, you know, your level of measurement of success has got to be something that is achievable and measurable, but not necessarily based on someone else's performance. And I think I've gotten myself hung up in my life multiple times with either my career or, you know, various situations, and even in some small part of this podcast, where I've tried to measure success based on, you know, statistics that are not really controllable, because there's the influence of what it is that you as a listener are doing. And if you're not listening, or if there's not, you know, a specific topic that grabs your attention, you know, we still had fun doing it. And I think that should be the measurement of success, versus if I put an episode out there and it becomes our, you know, fifth most downloaded show. That's not, that shouldn't be my barometer. That shouldn't be my barometer for success. My success should be something along the lines of, did I have fun putting out content and creating something and putting it out in the world? That really should be the barometer. If I'm doing that, I'm successful. So this is me trying to be a little more aware, conscious of those particular, how my mind works, and acknowledging the fact of, I just want to continue to put the podcast out that I enjoy doing. And my hope is that's something that you enjoy listening to. But I'm not going to measure my success of that particular podcast episode, or episodes in general, or our stats based on how many of you listen or you interact with us. That's on you. I'm hoping that you're here for the ride and you're going to enjoy listening to what you're hearing. But I'm going to continue to try to have fun with it. So I hope that's fair. I hope you guys can get behind that mission, because maybe in some way I'm starting to learn not to give a fuck. Ooh, that's deep. That's way too deep, isn't it? You know what? I want to get started on the topic at hand, so let's insert the bumper here.
This is 80-something podcast.
Banzai! Banzai! Banzai!
Hey, where's the meat? I don't think there's anybody back there.
You or any of your family ever seen a spook, specter, or ghost?
If the answer is yes, then don't wait another minute. Pick up your phone and call the professionals.
Go Ghostbusters!
Our courteous and efficient staff is on call 24 hours a day to serve all your supernatural elimination needs.
We're ready to believe you!
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe!
Be it to each other. And party on, dudes!
All right. This is Bonsai Retro Club. I am Dave. Thank you for joining the ride, folks. Please keep your hands and feet inside the car at all times. Do not pull up on your lap bar until you've been instructed to do so. And there would be no flash photography on this ride. All right. So what I want to talk about, this is something that came up on Twitter not too long ago. We started talking about retro TV shows, of course, as we do on Twitter. And somehow the conversation went around to what I want to talk about tonight, which is The Greatest American Hero. And my fear about revisiting this show has always been kind of an ongoing story that I've shared with several of on several of the episodes. And if you've already heard it, I'm sorry. I'll try to condense it, but this is for the new people that may be listening. That sometimes there are certain shows or movies that are better left in the top shelf of the memory of our mind. You know, those are the, you know, we enjoyed them back then. They were fine back at the time that they originally aired or the first time viewing it. Back in those 70s, 80s, and 90s, you know, they were fantastic. But then time passes by. You pull those particular movies or TV shows out and you give them another listen using your you know, a little bit more advanced years. I'm not going to say you're old. I'm not old. We're not old, are we? I don't think so. And we watch those again, and then suddenly they don't play as well as they had did when you were younger. A perfect example of this, if you go back and listen to Scott and I talking about Temple of Doom from Indiana Jones, we obviously hated that movie. And it's one of those things that, as a kid, I enjoyed it. But then I went to go back to revisit it, and using my older person sensibilities, it doesn't hold up. So now we're on to The Greatest American Hero. And yes, I know we're stuck in the 80s here. We haven't done 70s and 90s topics all that much. So I apologize for that. I'm going to tell you guys that I had every intention to try to come up with a concept for 70s or 90s, but I really haven't been doing anything specific around that I wanted to talk about significantly like I have been for The Greatest American Hero. So back to what I was originally discussing on Twitter was the fact that I was afraid that if I revisited The Greatest American Hero that I would... that it would have lost something throughout the years. Like if I were to revisit, you know, since I was going to rewatch the episodes, or at least the pilot, I was going to go, crap, this does not work. I don't want to continue. I'm not interested. I'm happy to report that is not the case here. I found The Greatest American Hero on Tubi, and that's TUBI, which is free for Comcast Xfinity customers, I guess, as one of the apps that's in there. And I found that they had at least the first season, if not the second season, on Tubi. And so I decided I'm going to go ahead and give the pilot episode a whirl. See how I feel about it, and then I'll decide if I want to go forward with that journey. I watched episode 1, and now I've been through episode 3. So I've gotten through the pilot, the hit car, Here's Looking at You, Kid. That should tell you that I'm not the kind of guy that's going to try to make something to work. If it hasn't hooked me at the beginning, then you're least likely going to get me to continue it. And a lot of times I get that way with like an audiobook. Like if the narrator doesn't hook me or I get lost in all the different characters, I start losing interest and I don't finish the book. I'm obviously on episode 3, so that tells you that yes, I am happy to report this does hold up well in my mind. Let's talk about the bad stuff first. I'd say the cheesy way that they do the effects. Granted, it was the early 80s. I'll give them that. It was early 80s, wasn't it? What year was that? 81 through 83. Yeah. So early 80s. Obviously, you know, if you had a TV show that didn't have a huge following, you wouldn't have had a humongous budget. So I get the fact of why this looks like it does. And so a lot of the effects of his superpowers are really, really kind of cheesy the way they're done. The banter between Bill, the FBI guy, and Ralph, it's gotten a little bit old right now. Yeah, three episodes in, just because they're always arguing. But I get that that's their personality types. And I think that, you know, shows back then, they kind of capitalized on putting two odd people together and kind of having them intermingle in their worlds. So I get the reason why they had that formula. I'm just saying that it's gotten kind of old. And I'd like them to just, you know, have each other's back. They both have each other's back, and that's not fair. But just to not be bickering all the time. So those are the two things that bug me about what I've seen so far. Let's talk about the positives now. It's a superhero TV show. You can't go wrong with that. You know, and I've always been kind of a closet comic book guy. And what I meant by that is at this time in the early 80s, I loved Cracked magazines. I loved Crazy magazines. I had a collection of those, but I didn't have anything that was like I was collecting a specific comic book character. I didn't fall in love with Batman until like 1989. And that was courtesy of all the hype that was going on with Batman and me going to the first Comic-Con. That's a whole different other story. So, as far as the way Batman goes, or not Batman goes, but the Greatest American Hero, is that it kind of had the sensibilities of kind of a campiness about it, based on here's this guy that lost the instruction booklet, and now all of a sudden he's got to deal with having a suit that gives him powers. It's a fucking wonderful premise. So I love the premise of it. It plays really well. You have a kick-ass theme song. I'm going to put that in here. I'm going to put the theme song in because you can't go into talking about the Greatest American Hero without adding the theme song.
Believe it or not.
once I've heard that song, it's like it's one of those things that it continually it plays in my brain throughout the years, and it's one of those songs that have never ever gotten old. It's like the theme song to Cheers. It's like once you start hearing it and you're singing along, and it's almost like you can just put it on repeat for a little bit and just enjoy it over and over again. Maybe another good theme song is like Welcome Back Carter, WKRP in Cincinnati. You guys get the gist. Wow, the gif. What am I thinking of, peanut butter? The show itself, love the superhero aspect of it. Here's some surprising things that have caught me, I wouldn't say off guard, but what I've been amazed by is that I know that back in the early 80s, I had seen this show. I know I watched it. But as I'm watching it now, I have not retained hardly anything about these specific episodes. I remember he's a teacher. I remembered Michael Pere being one of the students. I remember he was kind of the teacher that was in charge of the kids that had attitude, and they were kind of the rejected school students, special education students or whatever. So I knew that was it. I knew that was kind of the formula. I remember that part of it. I remember Bill being the FBI guy. I remember his lawyer being his fiance. Well, I don't think they're fiancés. They're not fiancés at this point. But they, boyfriend, girlfriend. And so I remember that formula. But that's about all I really remember. I don't remember a lot of the details of specific episodes. And that's what's making rewatching them now, is because I hadn't retained anything about the episodes from back in the early 80s. The only one I can remember quite a bit of detail from is the baseball one, and I looked it up, and that's season 2, episode 1. It'll take me a little bit to get to that one, but that's the one I remembered. Everything else has been kind of like seeing it with fresh eyes. So the pilot episode, you get right from the beginning, it kind of hooks you with this, this FBI agent who happens to be an African-American man. And then he's being chased by a bunch of guys in dune buggies that all have the same haircut I have, which is bald. And the first thing you think of is some sort of racial thing. And, you know, what's going on with, you know, the way they're all dressed, you know, like with the high-powered military weapons. They're all dressed in white shirts. They all have the mirror sunglasses, dog tags. You know, they all look very butch. And even there's even a woman in there that, same thing, all her hair shaved off. She's bald. And so they all just look bad mama jamas. And you think it's a racist thing. Doesn't turn out to be that way. But it plays that way at the beginning. And you're like, they're hunting this guy down. Then they end up killing him. And I'm like, well, crap. I didn't see that. You know, it's coming out of an 80s comedy thing. And then shortly thereafter, the dead guy is giving the suit to Ralph and Bill. The dead guy comes back. But he's on the spaceship, and the spaceship is using him as their talking piece. So you've got what looks like at the beginning a racial hunting of somebody. They kill him. Then the dead guy comes back and he starts talking. And, you know, then there's a spaceship. How can you not get interested into that right away? The episode continues, but that was kind of the highlights that really got me into it. My favorite episode so far out of the top three, or out of the first three, is the second episode, which is the hit car. This is the episode that the premise is that there's this, gangster that Bill's been trying to get for years, and he has a witness that's willing to testify, and the fun part about the episode is that she's flirtatious to Ralph, and you know, the whole thing, it'll be a spoiler for you guys, but she turns out to be still in cahoots with the gangster because she pleads the fifth once they finally get her to court, and it was all set up. So I love the way that that episode kind of turns itself, and like, I didn't see it coming. I should have saw it coming because, I mean, these shows are kind of predictable, but it surprised me, and I really enjoyed the being surprised by a TV show from back then. And then the final episode that I watched was Here's Looking at You, Kid. And this is basically the premise of there's a airplane that gets hijacked that has technology that this other group tried to get, that they're going to resell the technology. The fun part about the episode is then Ralph discovers another superpower that the suit gives him that he didn't realize that he could have, which is turning invisible. And then he's trying to learn to control it and how to get back. You know, of course, he's having a situation where he's got to meet... Am I thinking of the right one here? Recruits Ralph gunfight, which Ralph discovers new superpower he's unable to control. Ralph's students press him to class president. Pam's mother... Okay, so Pam's father, who's the mayor, and her mother are supposed to meet Ralph. And because he's invisible, he's having difficulty meeting them for dinner, and that's not going well for him. So that's kind of the fun part there. You have this whole situation almost like a Mrs. Doubtfire, where you have, you know, he's disappearing, reappearing, and then all of a sudden he's got to try to get himself out of trouble from being seen by all the patrons of the restaurant, et cetera, et cetera. Insert, you know, comedy, laugh track, ha ha ha. They don't have a laugh track here, but you get my point. So out of the first three episodes that I've watched, I can honestly say that I'm excited to watch the next few episodes. So The Greatest American Hero for me is holding up. My fear is unfounded. This is not one of those that, for me personally, that because of being an older, you know, a person with older sensibilities, you know, rewatching it, it's not something that I have to worry about now. It's not something that I'm like, this is dumb. Why the hell did I like it from way back when? So if you do get a chance to rewatch The Greatest American Hero, I would love to have you try it and then give me your feedback. So my email is mcfly@bonsairetroclub.com. I'd really love to hear what you have to say about, you know, your journey of revisiting it. Maybe you got excited into it, or maybe there was another episode that you're thinking of that you really remember other than the baseball episode. Love to get all your feedback on that. So this is part of the program where I'm going to remind everybody that we have a website out there that's Banzai Retro Club, B-A-N-Z-A-I, retroclub.com. And on that, you can follow us on all our social media endeavors. I did put something in the blog, which for the Essential Movie podcast episodes, I did a visual guide article. And so for those of you that are checking out the Essential Movies for the 1980s, all those specific episodes, you can go to the visual guide and there are the movie posters, and you can just click on the movie poster and it'll take you right to the episode of the ones that we've already posted. So hopefully you get a chance to check that out. That's a nice, easy way for you to find kind of the episodes that you want to listen to if you don't want to hear them all. Yeah, so all that's going to be out there for your ease of use. Hopefully you get to check that out. And then if you get a chance and you're on Twitter, you know, I'd recommend you checking us out there. Give us a follow. Interact with me on Twitter. I'm doing really good with Twitter. Have a lot of great retro folks that I'm sharing content with. They're all amazing. So I highly recommend that you guys go check out everybody. Usually on my hashtag FF fan favorite days or follow-up Fridays, check out all those people. They're all very cool and awesome in their own ways, and they're putting tons of great retro stuff out. It's way better than my stuff. But, you know, like I mentioned at the beginning of this, I'm not going to use that as my barometer for success because I enjoy their stuff. I'm hoping they're enjoying mine or ours. I didn't mean mine, ours. It's an ours thing. Yeah, so with all that, I want to remind everybody, just be excellent to each other. Have a good whatever, because I have no idea when you're going to listen to this, and bye.
This has been a Bonsai Retro Club production.
Bonsai, Daniel-san!
Hey, Bonsai!
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 Bonsai!